Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. This is April 15th, 2025. Hope you got your taxes done, if that applies to you. On today's show, we're not going to be talking about taxes. We're going to be talking about much more calming things, including the sun moving into Taurus at the end of the week. That's going to happen on Saturday the 19th. But we're also going to talk, we're going to start today with what I'm saying. This is a week of re-entries and shadows. And following recent retrogrades, this week, both Mercury and Mars will return to the signs where they were when they started their backwards motion. Now, I know some people are going, okay, why do we have to talk about that? But I just want to talk about that for a little bit. I was just thinking as I was preparing this and just kind of, you know, smiling to myself because I thought, if I'm not careful, I'm going to become known as the queen of the retrogrades because I seem to just like talk about retrogrades a whole lot. But, you know, in truth, I say everybody talks their chart. And I'm going to give you some examples of that during the show today. You know, when we look at people with a sun in Taurus, or we look at Mercury in Aries and that kind of thing, if you listen, people are always talking their chart, if you know what to listen for. And I have five planets in my chart moving retrograde when I was born. So I guess I am the queen of the retrogrades. You know, it's something that feels very natural to me and feels like an intricate and important part of life for planets to move retrograde. It feels like a dance. It's not about moving backwards. It's about moving inward, but it's about a dance and letting life, you know, dance in different directions. So that's what we're going to talk about today. If you'd like to join me over on Facebook in our private group, we do have a private chat room. I think the easiest way to get there is to go to 12radio.com. And when you look at the left side of the page, you know, all those different tabs, it will direct you in certain places. Look for chat. When you go to chat, it will automatically shoot you over to Facebook, where you can ask to join the group if you've never been in the group before. And I will try to keep an eye on that. And so if you do have a question or something you want clarified, I'll try to do that during the show. So in any case, let's look at this cosmic dance for the week of April 14th. And before we get into Mercury and Mars returning to those signs, Mercury to Aries and Mars to Leo, let's talk about this whole concept of returns, or aka re-entries and shadows. And it's not as scary as it might sound. But I'm going to lay the groundwork here, and I know some of you are so savvy, you know a lot of this. But here again, you may not think of maybe the importance or what we can use these particular time periods for. But when a planet moves retrograde, when it moves into a retrograde cycle, which of course they all do with the exception of the sun and the moon. Because remember, it really is an optical illusion. And so from our perspective on Earth, the sun and the moon never move backwards. But the other planets do, because of course we're all orbiting the sun. And as we kind of go faster or slower, or our orbits kind of intersect or go in a different, you know, kind of pattern than the other planets, then that's what gives us that optical illusion that planets are moving backwards. So it's just from our vantage point on Earth, which of course is, once again, it's an optical illusion, but everything in life tends to be, right? It's what we think we see, sometimes more so than what we're really seeing. So nevertheless, astrologically speaking, we experience the planet as backtracking. You know, whether or not it's visually, it looks in the sky like it's backtracking, or it's kind of psychologically or emotionally as we're thinking about it. So we're going to take Mars as an example. Now, last fall, on November 3rd, Mars left Cancer, because, you know, it's just doing its thing. It takes about 6 weeks to go through a sign. So it was in Cancer, and it left Cancer, and it entered Leo. Now, when I think about this, I think of, you know, Cancer as that sign of home and family and really being dedicated or committed to family or to responsibilities. And I can imagine that as Mars, the planet of activity and personal will, As it moved into Leo, I can just feel it stretching its legs going, ooh, this feels good. You know, maybe we were feeling a little bit cooped up or limited because here again, maybe family or responsibilities or commitments that we've made were taking the precedence. So instead of using our personal will towards things we just wanted, you know, our passions, our stuff, we were applying it to our tribe, to our group, to other things. So here it is. Mars is just stretching its legs, moving into Leo. It's stretching its stuff. Time to please myself. You know, it's time to get out there and do some self-expression for me. So last fall, here's Mars cruising through Leo. When on December 6th, it's just at 6 degrees of Leo. It's not even a third of the way through when it goes into a retrograde pattern. So for about the next 10 weeks through the third week of February, Mars is metaphorically moving backwards. That was the retrograde period. And on January 6th, Mars actually still moving backwards left Leo and it re-entered Cancer. And it continues to move backwards from, you know, 29 degrees, 28 degrees, 27 degrees, all the way back to 17 degrees of Cancer. And so during that period, we kind of go, oops, wait, I forgot something. There was still something in Cancer that I needed to take care of. Very much so, like, I think I got this analogy from Mark Husson, but from somebody where you're walking down the street and you're going to the store, you're going somewhere, and all of a sudden you realize you forgot your wallet, you forgot your purse, and you go, ah, got to turn around. So literally, in some ways, and here again, I know I'm giving the planet's personality, but I'm just trying to give us a little hook that we can kind of, you know, catch on to, so to speak. So here we are, we go, oops, forgot. So it goes all the way back into Cancer and it goes to 17 degrees. So there again, we can look at that period and say, what was going on the first time Mars was covering those degrees? What was going on for us? Because you know what's going to happen? We are going to revisit those events, those conversations, those agreements. Whatever we were doing, maybe we were doing some renovation to our homes. Maybe we were, you know, taking a vacation with a family member or, you know, entering a new relationship. We're going to revisit that because once again, it's like, oops, I didn't really check that off my list. There's still something I need to do. I mean, at least I think on some level in our consciousness, that's what's happening. Now then, on February 23rd, the retrograde is over. Mars stands still and looks forward, sitting at 17 degrees of Cancer, and says, hey, it's time for me to go forward again. But it's going to take until April 17th, this week, on Thursday, for Mars to go back through those degrees of Cancer and then to re-enter Leo. So when we talk about re-entering a sign, or if we talk about returning to a sign, that's what we're talking about. But think about it. This time, Mars and we, you know, if you see it as resonating with our consciousness, we're hopefully a little bit wiser. Why? Because now we have more life experience. Hopefully we have insights and revelations and maybe some new motivations because Mars is the planet of motivation. And so now we've had that opportunity to go through those particular degrees, especially of Cancer and those early degrees of Leo. We will have gone through them three times. We got to see them from different perspectives. That's where the insight and the revelations come from. And it will take until May 2nd before Mars actually gets back to 6 Leo, where it was when it started the retrograde in December. So in some ways, I look at those retrograde patterns very much encompassing what we would call those two shadow periods. You know, the period from, you know, the 17 Cancer to the 6 Leo when Mars went retrograde, and then the time it takes for Mars to get back to 6 Leo as well. So if you look at the whole thing, that's why there's kind of, you know, in a sense, that's what we call a shadow, even when the planet isn't technically moving retrograde, but we know it's going to move retrograde. and we know it's going to revisit. And then after the fact, it's not moving retrograde, but we're still not back to where we were. And see, to me, this is a priceless period of time, those shadow periods. And we talk about them as shadows. And I'm trying to think that people call them, there's another name for it, and I'm not recalling it right at this moment, but it kind of is a word that means the same thing. You know, that somehow you're in this orb or you're in this aura of the retrograde. So after this retrograde motion, that period of time, I think, is particularly priceless. And by the way, we also talk about those shadows of the retrograde. And like I said, sometimes we're talking about the period before. So I don't want it to be confusing. But see, for example, using Mars again, Mars first touched 17 Cancer in October, like October 5th. So during this retrograde that started in December, you may have found that some things that were going on in October and November, they were coming right back up again. Maybe you were making plans for the holidays in October. And then you find that when Mars went retrograde in December, all those plans had to be reworked, or you reconsidered something that you were doing. So that's the way it works. And that's why if we look at those shadow periods, it kind of just gives us a heads up. So that's the point. Why do we care about those shadows now? And of course, maybe you don't. I mean, this is astrology. If you don't get into astrology, of course you're going, I don't care. Just get that planet out of retrograde. But we care because there's something we can do with that energy. There's something we can do with that period of time. I think those shadows are rich with observations and situations in which we can revisit and take another look at them. Because there again, how often in life, you know, we're going along and let's face it, you know, there are so many examples of how we're moving along and we just don't even see something, right? I mean, you know, you lose something in your house, in fact, and you go, hey, I know I always put it there. Where is it? You look and look and look and look and you can't see it. And then you slow down or something else happens and you're not even looking for it. And there it is. Well, that's just human nature. We have got a lot of things vying for our attention. So we have to consciously and purposefully put our attention on something. So it's not that surprising, but those retrogrades give us the opportunity to look at something three times, you know, to really take a look at it and say, okay, yeah, I do see this from another perspective. You know, I got three times to cover this territory, and it can be a real gift. So after the retrograde, the shadow is the time to do the assimilation, to kind of look at what have we learned? How can we incorporate those insights into our thinking and into our lives? And I think I want you to think about it this way. If you cleaned out a closet, you know, or cleaned out a drawer. And let's just say you dump everything out. You pull everything out of the closet, out of that drawer, whatever. You know, maybe it's your car and you're just taking everything out and you've got it on the ground, you've got it on the floor and you're sorting through everything. And hopefully you're deciding, hey, that needs to be tossed, just needs to be thrown away. But you know what? That thing over there, that can be rehomed. Somebody else could use that. I can donate that. Maybe something over here needs to be recycled. Something needs to be relocated, maybe to a different closet, maybe to a different place in your home, maybe, you know, or your office, wherever you're cleaning out. So some things are probably going to go back into the closet, although they may not go in the same order they went before. And why? Because now you've got them all out there. You've got the opportunity to look at all of them, figure out what the relationship is between them. What is the relationship to your life? And I guess I use the closet because I feel like I'm always reorganizing closets because I'll have like little doggy bags or, you know, scarves and hats or something right in the closet near the door. But then the weather changes and I'm almost never using those. So then I kind of put them away or I put them towards the back of the closet. You know, I don't need those scarves and hats right now. So there's just sometimes looking at the relationship to your life right now, we may reorganize something for a particular purpose. Because once again, we're being intentional. And the other thing, maybe we buy something new, like we reorganize the racks or we get some storage cubicles or shelving, or we go, you know what? I'm always reaching for that. It's hard to get it out. So I'm going to put a drawer here. I'm going to put, you know, a little cubby or something. So that's what we're doing in our real lives, that's what we're doing in our physical lives often. But what if you, here again, applying this to a retrograde, what if you took all that stuff out and then you made no decisions whatsoever and you just dumped it all back in the closet? Now, been there, done that, because sometimes I get overwhelmed to go, okay, I'm not ready to deal with this. But it's not a very satisfying exercise and probably not a really good use of our time. Now, I think it kind of works the same way with those retrograding planets. If we don't consider the lessons learned, make any changes, or take an action, then the world's not going to fall apart. It's not going to quit turning on its axis, but we don't really get any benefit from that. And sometimes those lessons are things that are very positive, and sometimes they're things, man, I wish I hadn't done it that way. You know, something breaks down, or, you know, and things are always breaking down, right? I mean, that's Earth. That's the planet we live on. But some of those lessons can be invaluable. Maybe it can stop us from making the same mistake again, because it gives us a different way to look at it. Maybe it gives us more personal responsibility or insight into, I've set this situation up before. I don't need to keep setting the situation up. I mean, you know, sometimes, like, for instance, in A Course in Miracles, it talks about we're always reliving, in a sense, the same bad decision or the same mistake. We think it happened a long time ago. And in our lives, I think we do that too. We think that that argument or that pattern, you know, is in the past. It's something from long ago. But we're just recreating it. Maybe we're recreating it with a different person. Or we're recreating it with a different home or a different car or a different pet. You know, it's the same behavior or it's the same intention that we continually recreate. So that's why, in some ways, maybe we don't have to get, and I would encourage you, don't get real serious about this. Don't, like, you know, say, okay, I've got to spend 30 minutes figuring this out. We don't always have to figure it out. We can just look at what is happening in our life right now. What's really right in front of our face right now? And if you go back and you say, oh my gosh, this is a pattern from childhood, or, oh, I know where this started. If that's helpful to you, do it. But you don't need to. All you really need to do is just kind of look at what is happening for you right now. And I know we have so many things on our list, right? We got so many things to do that I don't want to kind of burden you by saying, oh my gosh, guys, you've just got to do this. You've got to look at these retrogrades and you've got to do something about it. That is not my purpose here. My purpose really is just letting you know, here's one more little gift. Here's one more little opportunity that whatever's going on with retrograding planets, that we don't have to dread these particular moments. We can look at it and go, yeah, this was my chance to really look at something different. We can be very purposeful and we can make the purpose of the retrogrades learning lessons that will light the path forward. It literally ignites the torch and goes, I've seen how this works and I'm going to try to do this differently, or I'm going to keep going exactly like I am because this is really working. So no pressure, just stay open to the ways of seeing yourself in the world. But there again, if you kind of want to think about it in terms of the dates, Mercury will be in the shadow phase until April 25th. Mercury, the planet of thinking, communication, connecting the dots. So until the 25th, we're really in a very rich period of letting Mercury teach us the lessons of its recent retrograde. Then, starting late tonight, Mercury will be cruising through Aries. So that's cool. It's going to leave Pisces and it's going to be in Aries. That, and by the way, you know, that 29th degree of Pisces, we've been talking about that. That's pretty important. So as we go through today, there is going to be this shift when Mercury will re-enter Aries. Now Mars, which was retrograding in Cancer and Leo, is going to leave its retrograde shadow on May 2nd. But starting Thursday night of this week, April 17th, Mars does leave Cancer and goes back into Leo. And there again, I can't help but think, you know, we just enjoy that. Leo is that sign of self-expression. It's the sign of performing and, you know, hey, world, look at me. It's a sign of, you know, I want to pay attention to what do I look like and how do people see me and how do I express myself? It kind of, like the other fire signs, like Aries and Sag, it kind of just appeals to that sense of, you know, I want to be on stage. I want to be seen. I want to follow my passion, you know, follow my dream. So I think most of us like that. You know, Mars in Leo gives us permission. In a sense, you know, maybe it's like if you think about the Cancer-Leo dynamic, it's like the kid going off to college. They've lived with their family all those years, and now it's their time. It's me time. I get to explore and figure out who I really am. Mars, the planet of inspiration, motivation. I think it likes to be in Leo, and I think for the most part, we like it too. Although, what happens, we may notice that people are really pursuing their own passions. They're really getting excited about things. And, you know, so what happened to that person who was just like totally amenable to every plan that we had suggested? Well, guess what? Now they're going, what do I want? It's about me. There again, with this emphasis of planets in fire and air. That fire says, I'm interested in my will. I'm interested in accomplishing something. I need to move. I need to act. I need to be doing something. And it's got to be connected to my spirit, to what moves me. So, you know, with all this, especially Aries and Leo, it's going to be a fun time in the next few months. Now, we have some other energy that's very different, and we're going to talk about that too with the sun in Taurus. But just finishing up this little piece, Venus also recently finished a retrograde, but she remains in her shadow until May 15th. And so currently she's still in Pisces. She's going to re-enter Aries on April 30th. So before we leave this, though, I did want to say a few things about Aries, just as, you know, a contrast in letting you know what it is. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've talked about Aries a little bit because Neptune, that planet that moves so slowly, is going to be in Aries for 14 years. And that just recently happened. But think of Aries as it's a cardinal fire sign. So what does that mean? Those cardinal signs are initiators. They're quick, they're active, spontaneous, inspirational, and unpredictable. The cardinal signs are the ones that start a season. So Aries begins, in fact, the whole astrological year. It's spring. It's the first sign of the zodiac. Its ruler is Mars, very willful Mars. What do I want? How am I going to move it? What inspires me? What gets me going? Now, Mars is the planet that governs spring, agriculture, and is the god of war, all at the same time, you know, very multifaceted. So those Aries characteristics are youthful and eager and ambitious. They're risk-taking, daring, forceful, assertive, bold, fearless, and competitive. And of course, very, very independent. So as planets are manifesting through Aries, that's what you see. You know, it's that little kid energy. And you know, it's like the beginning, you know, the baby that isn't thinking, what does my mom think? Or is this going to bother my mom because I wake up in the middle of the night? No, that's not what the baby's thinking. The baby is like, what am I experiencing? What do I want? I think I'll scream and see what happens. I think I'll laugh and see what happens. You know, and of course, it's not quite so cognitive like that. But yeah, just testing the waters. You know, every day, every moment is an experience. So with Mercury in Aries, I have a couple of quotes that I want to put out here. And one of them is Albert Einstein, you know, of course, one of my favorites. And he says, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Now, of course, there's a million quotes by Albert Einstein, or at least a lot. But the reason I chose that one is because Aries likes, in a sense, difficulties. Aries likes a challenge. You know, Aries says, give me something to do. Give me something to overcome. Give me something to climb, to do. It doesn't want the easy path. It wants to be able to develop courage. And so what is it, you know, and there again, this is spring. This is the energy of a seed breaking through the earth's crust. You know, it's not just like, okay, give me the easy path or I won't do it. Aries likes an opportunity. Aries likes the difficulty, wants to overcome something, wants to develop that challenge and that courage within itself. Now, the other part of Aries, though, is very playful. So I have a quote by Shirley MacLaine, who also has Mercury in Aries. And she says, I think of life itself as a wonderful play that I've written for myself. And so my purpose is to have the utmost fun playing my part. Now here again, people are multifaceted. So there's lots and lots of different things that I could choose that people say, but I purposefully choose the ones that go, they're speaking their Mercury, they're speaking their Mars, they're speaking their Sun. So she emphasizes in this particular quote, the idea of play. I'm a child. I'm doing this myself. And once again, she says, I've written it for myself. You know, she's writing her own script, writing her own play, and she's going to make sure that she has as much fun as possible. That sounds like a fire sign, and it sounds like Aries. So now let's just turn the table a little bit and say Mars in another fire sign, Leo. Well, Leo is ruled by the Sun itself. Now, that alone, if you remember it, has importance because the Sun, if you think about it, is the center of our universe. And it's kind of even astrologically, it's our ego. It's our sense of identity. So Leo, of course, is, you know, I think of Aries as going me, 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 me. But, you know, Mars isn't too far behind in that because Mars is saying, I want to express myself. It is the sign of self-expression in Leo. You know, and the sign of developing self-confidence, creating an ego and an identity. Now, that's an important concept with Leo, too, because the mythology of Leo is often the missing father or a father who, for whatever reason, is disabled or impotent. I mean, the father who doesn't have power. So in many, many ways, the mythology of Leo energy is the child who has to create their own identity. They have to figure out their own ego because they don't have a father's energy or name behind them. Remember, this is all mythology, but within all of us, wherever we have Leo, is where maybe we do struggle with identity or ego. Maybe, and by the way, you know, oftentimes, if you see a Leo who is a total bully, or totally boisterous, and it's always all about them, I can almost promise you that is a Leo who doesn't have an ego. They don't know who they are. They're constantly trying to test out this stuff, or they're trying to, you know, what they're doing is they're telling us, look at me, look at who I am. They're trying to find their reflection in other people. And the response that they get from other people then kind of tells them who they think that they are. But that's what's kind of ironic, is that Leo, the sign that we often think of big ego, is actually the one that's constantly in search of an ego and an identity. So when you see a Leo Sun, especially in a person who will kind of give the stage to other people or who uses their time to promote other people, you're looking at a person who has really struggled with that and who's found themselves. They found their purpose. They know what their passion is. And now they're not trying to prove it every moment of their waking lives. Now, here's the word that I often associate with Leo, because it's the sign of nobility. Adore, adoration, worship. And so when I was looking for quotes for people that have Mars and Leo, I found two right off the bat that actually included the word adore. The first one's Jodie Foster, and she says, my definition of a friend is somebody who adores you, even though they know the things that you're most ashamed of. So once again, she chose to use that word. And you know what? At least in my experience, not everybody uses that word adore, but certain people do. And if you look at their charts, I'm telling you, you'll almost always find Leo, or you'll find a lot of planets in the fifth house, which is the Leo house. Now, the second one is Harrison Ford. And he says, here again, Mars and Leo. He said, I was always very grateful. I was never hot. in the entire length of my career, I haven't been the most adored. So there again, you know, and I'm not saying he's got a big ego, but the very fact that he would say, I've never been the most adored, that he even speaks those words of nobility, the king, the queen, who wants to be appreciated by other people, who wants other people's attention. Now, a few other people that have Mars and Leo, I don't have quotes, but Paul McCartney has Mars and Leo, and it's conjunct Pluto. So I think, you know, what that speaks to me of is a person who really rose in prominence in the world. I mean, obviously has a name that, you know, it will take, 100 more years or more before people would not recognize the name Paul McCartney. Bette Midler has Mars and Leo, and so does Robert Redford. Now, there again, not all stars have that, but, you know, I think it's not shocking to find Mars and Leo in people who, you know, have really established a particular name for themselves or a genre or something. So those are just some examples. And of course, there's some negative ones too, but I'm not going to say those. We're not going to go there. Because there again, I think the people with kind of, you know, that I could mention that I would consider are kind of negative examples. Those are the people who are still struggling. They can't figure out how to make that ego. They have never found that identity. And they just, so they are bullies. They just push and push and push and push and push to try to get our attention. You know, and like I said, if you've got Leos in your own life and you see that, recognize that what they're asking you for, they're asking for your attention. They're asking for your appreciation. And I know sometimes it's hard to give it to them when they keep asking. But if you know that that's what's really going on, it's not that they feel so secure. They don't feel secure. That's the problem. So maybe you can help them out with that by just kind of affirming who they are in any given moment. You know, think about it that way. All right, I'm going to go over to Facebook really quickly and see if I can call up the comments. You know, sometimes I'm good at this, sometimes I'm not. As other people say, they, you know, Facebook likes to order these things. And most of the time during the show, I don't have time to figure it all out. But yep, I see some comments. Hey, Pamela, thank you for being here. And Tara and Quelly. Now, I'm not seeing questions, but hey, Leslie, thank you for joining me today. And James, hey, looking forward to connecting with you, James. That would be great. And yeah, let's see. Am I missing anybody? I don't know. But that's what I see right now. Thank you, guys. And just thanks for, you know, kind of shouting out and saying hello and saying that you're here and just being here in spirit and being here, you know, however we connect in the ethers, you know, it's great. Thanks for doing that. All right, so now we're going to turn the tables a little bit, and we're going to go in a slightly different direction, away from all that heat and that talk, you know, all that air and specifically fire energy, because we're going to look at the sun in Taurus. And of course, the sun goes through a new sign every 30 days, and it now is in Taurus. Now, as you listen to what Taurus is about, think of it as an antidote to the fire energy of Aries, because that's, you know, there again, that to me is like a little trick of astrology that if you understand it, you think about it, it just makes so much sense, because the sun is burning up in the fire of Aries. So what do we need next? When it goes into its next cycle, we don't need more of the same. What we need is to correct for any excess or to bring forward something that maybe got a little, you know, suppressed or repressed when we were doing all this Aries action, just out there having a challenge, going somewhere, you know, not maybe, I don't know, just being very, very active, being very Aries, being fire, you know, that unpredictable energy of fire. Well, on Saturday of this week is when the sun's going to make that shift, on Saturday the 19th. And the sun is going to go into what we consider to be the traditional, constant, and patient sign of Taurus. Now, Taurus is an earth sign. So think about that. Earth doesn't just pick up and move really quick. Now, it can in the presence of air, like wind. You know, I mean, there again, that's a good analogy. You put enough wind behind the earth, you're going to pick it up and blow it across the country, across the world. But this is an earth sign. It's grounded, dependable, closely aligned with nature, the physical side of life. We pay attention to our bodies. So this isn't just like, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? This is about, how does my body feel? What do I want to eat? What do I want to drink? How does my body feel? Everything appealing to the five senses, the physical senses of the body. So I think of Taurus as, especially Sun in Taurus, because once again, this is a 30-day pattern and the Sun is our identity. So it doesn't matter if you have your Sun anywhere else. When the Sun is in Taurus, you're going to pay more attention to your body. Good food, a wonderful place to live, a steady source of income and resources. We want things to be safe with Taurus. And that's what makes Taurus a happy camper. Good food, comfortable place to live, steady sources of income. And also it helps to have a partner or good friends or people that we can count on. Because, of course, Taurus wants that too. Taurus is ruled by Venus. Venus, the planet of love and finances and value, rules two signs. It rules Taurus and it rules Libra. And so those are slightly different manifestations. In Libra, we often think of it as partnership and alliances and facilitation and fairness and balance and all of that. When it's in Taurus, it very much manifests in a very physical way. So there again, we want to be partnered. We want affection. We want a loyal mate. We want people to be loyal to us in our lives. But here again, I often think of Sun in Venus also, or Sun in Taurus as, you know, the interior decorator who said, you know, I want this home to look beautiful like Libra, but I want it to feel wonderful. I want it to just appeal to all my senses. So when the Sun is in Taurus, it's like it manifests through these material comforts and luxury, and we often are very attached to our possessions, including sentimental memorabilia. And I say that because Taurus to me is one of the signs that kind of, I would say Cancer too, but is very, very connected to the past. Because Taurus looks, you know, it's the root. It's how we root into things. Now, I know that Taurus is symbolized by the bull, but the symbol I most like, or not always, well, I should say it's equal. I love to think of Taurus as a tree, a big tree that grows very slowly, but then stands very proudly wherever it is. And I like the tree symbol for a couple of reasons. One, because it's nature, and that is a very Taurus kind of thing. But also because the tree, its inner core is where its vitality is. And so the storms can come and go. The seasons come and go. The leaves fall off. Maybe they don't fall off, depending on the kind of tree. But this, you know, entity, it stands there. It's not going to pick up when it sees a snowstorm coming. It's not going to panic when the rains don't come or when the rains do come. It takes what comes and it just continues to dig in, to send out its roots, and to know where its strength comes from. So I think this is a time that we gather our own resources. We gather our strength. We remember what roots us. We remember the past and what we're connected to. And so when you use the word tradition, that's almost always to me a very Taurus word. But once again, that can become kind of a negative in our life too, if we just become so enculturated with something and say, can't change, can't change, can't change. Because there again, that tree, like I said, it's not going to get up and move. It's going to stand right where it is. So I think of Sun with Taurus, or even just Taurus, as being the sign that's the most strident in guarding rituals and customs that are associated with family, religion, and culture. And here again, with Taurus and money, it's about investment. It's about being in it for the long haul. You know, it's not the sign of taking risks or gambling or like, let's, you know, the get rich quick kind of stuff. No, it's like, what's going to pay off over time? I'm willing to make an investment in a relationship, in a home, in a job, in my money, whatever it is. So Sun through Taurus, which it's going to be there through the 20th of May, it's a good time to nest, to take care of your physical life, to take care of your home, your relationships, and your stuff. So there again, you know, we tend to do spring house cleaning. And even though spring is Aries, you know, technically that's when it starts, we move right into this. I mean, this is still spring. There's 3 months of spring. And so that's when we're trying to take care of things, nurture them, protect them. So maybe we plant a garden or create a windowsill herb collection, you know, that kind of thing. But there again, what I want to emphasize here too is that unlike Aries, which is fire and is cardinal, Taurus is a fixed sign. And one of the analogies or the images that is so helpful to me is to know that, you know, and I'm experiencing this right now. I planted four little vegetable plants. Now, I know it's not more, but I mean, in my heart of hearts, sometimes I'm a farmer and I love to do that. But where I'm living now in Nevada, you know, we get these outrageously hot summers. And so I just haven't even tried to garden because most of the time, especially with vegetables, they just can't take it. But I thought, you know what? I really want to do that. So I planted four little vegetable plants. And the first one, literally the tomato was like an inch and a half. I bought it as a plant. It was an inch and a half. And I thought, oh my God, is this ever going to make it? But the point is, when we plant something, so whether it's the seeds or it's the actual plants, if I go out there every day and I'm digging it up to see how the roots are doing, or if I'm disturbing the soil, or if I'm just like, you know, and I kind of am kind of moving the pots from place to place, trying to figure out where they would be best, you know, if you keep doing that, you keep messing with it, then guess what happens? You're ruining it. And so Aries is the time to plant the seeds. Now, I mean, here again, depending on where you live. But Aries is the time to plant the seeds in the astrology world. But Taurus is the time to sit and wait and be patient and nurture it and water it and watch it. But it's kind of funny because I go out there every single morning and go, did they get bigger? Did they get bigger? How do they look? What are they doing? And sure enough, it took a while for me to see any change at all. Because like I said, these plants were so tiny. And I just thought, I'm never going to see any change at all. And it took, I'd say, at least a week and a half for me to see, are they even going to live? But see, that's where we are now with Taurus. You know, we are nurturing, maintaining. It's important to not be into that kind of chaotic, frightful energy where we're stirring everything up. But of course, astrologically speaking, we've got the Sun in Taurus. We still have Uranus in Taurus, too. But we've got a lot of fire and energy out there, and it's coming. But we blend it together. So that's one thing I'm thinking in your life. You know, I know there's a lot of chaotic things going on, or at least if my life is any indication what yours is, just lots of stuff happening lately. But you know, we still have to gather those moments. We still have to tune into, or it would be helpful rather, to tune into that Taurus energy. And so during this time, I'm also looking at the fact, you know, with Venus, the ruler, having just finished that retrograde, I'm thinking this Taurus cycle is going to be a little bit different and maybe some unexpected changes, you know, unlike other previous Taurus cycles. So, you know, these are some of the things I'd watch for. You know, maybe someone from the past coming back into your life. Because here again, Taurus is about, you know, putting down those roots. And maybe somebody rooted in your past actually comes back into your life. Or maybe we have a desire to reevaluate, and this has to do with Venus retro, you know, evaluate a habit or behavior, or, you know, in our lives, how are we managing and nurturing that particular thing? But I mean, I think one of the biggest manifestations is, you know, oftentimes I just want to rearrange all the furniture in the house. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, I just want it to be different. I just want it to be new. So it's not totally disturbing everything, but just kind of changing the energy up a little bit. So if you have this sudden urge to run down to Home Depot and, you know, and we do that during Cancer cycles too, by the way, but that's it. We got to spruce things up. We got to plant some things. We got to take care of our homes. That's the other thing. Just taking care of things, you know, replacing that hose or getting, you know, whatever it is, you know, we want to take care of our stuff. Our stuff is important, our physical stuff, and we want to take care of it. But of course, what's also really important is that mental stuff or the emotional stuff. And so there again, ourselves, are we giving ourselves those opportunities to be quiet, you know, to be that plant that's just gathering its strength and growing? So I'm thinking that, you know, we protect the things that we love, whether those are relationships or, you know, the couch or the car, whatever it is, but we're also taking this time to be still. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, especially when things are chaotic, especially when things are maybe difficult. You know, there's a lot of emotional stuff going on in your life or how to deal with something. Remember, you know, I also like to say, if you really are a fan or a student of history, most of the time, there's nothing new under the sun, right? These cycles come and they go. And it doesn't mean that we don't have something that's really upsetting or really joyful in our lives at any given time. But when the sun is in Taurus, it's a reminder to take the time to gather your strength, to be quiet, to still the mind so that you can hear your inner voice, divine messages. You know, in every single day or whenever or how often you need it, withdraw from the chaos of the outer world. Make nature your friend and your partner. Pause, take a break, rest, retreat, recover, recuperate. To me, those are all Taurus kinds of activities, or rather non-activities. You know, use the time to maybe reflect how you got into the position you're in right now. Anyway, that would be a retrograde kind of thing. If you go, you know, how is it that I've got 10 things on my plate? When did I agree to all these things? How could I do that differently in the future? So reflect, practice introspection. And by the way, the moon is in Scorpio for the next couple of days, and then it's going to be in Sag. But even Sag, even though it's fire, Sag is a very philosophical moon. So, you know, between now and Thursday, I think we have lots of opportunity, if we take them, to not struggle against the idea or the experience of being still. Just giving ourselves those moments. And see, that's what it is, even if it's just a moment. I know I'm the kind of person, sometimes I get into this place of, oh, well, if I don't have an hour, it's not worth it. Well, you know what? It is worth it. Because even those small moments add up. And that's one of the changes I've made in my life, is not having to control every single little moment and just go, you know what? If I can even grab 5 minutes, if I can just do 1 minute, just take a breath, just go get some more iced tea or ice water. If I can just take those moments, they add up. And what they say to my consciousness, to my psyche, is that you're worth it. I'm looking out for you. And so I would definitely encourage you, just find some stillness, especially this week, but also moving forward. Because in the middle of chaos, in the middle of lots of stuff going on, slowing down, looking a different way, reconnecting with yourself is where your power really is. So I encourage you to really embrace the sun in Taurus this week. And like I said, moving forward, it'll be there through about the 20th of May, I think is what we said. And by the way, we do have some exciting things happening towards the end of this week and moving into the next week. If you listened to Mark Husson yesterday on his show, if you didn't, go get it in the archives of 12radio.com. He was talking about some stuff that's really cool, including on Saturday when the sun moves into Taurus, we also have Mars. It'll be in Leo, and it's going to connect with Neptune in Aries. Now, this is a really new kind of energy. We haven't had Neptune in Aries for 164 years. So that, I think, could be a really exciting energy. And there again, I would encourage you to read, you know, to get it for free, Mark's Power Peak, because I write something called The Week Ahead. And in that column, I'm going to tell you every single day what's going on. I'm going to give you some ideas about, this is my interpretation for how this energy is going to manifest. And of course, we'll see how it manifests for you. But if you want to kind of tune in every single day to where's the moon, what's going on with those planets, I would encourage you to read Mark's Power Peak. You can subscribe for free by going to 12house. I think you can also do it if you go to 12listen.com. There will be a link for Mark's Power Peak. And like I said, it's free. It's digital. You know, it's one of those things that you can feed and nurture yourself with good stuff. So I would encourage you to do that. All right. So as we wrap the show today, and we do need to do that because we're getting close, I want to just say thank you so much for joining me today, everybody in, you know, in Facebook and our chat room, and everybody who's listening to this either live or maybe you're listening to this from the archives of 12radio.com. You can do that. You can find it on the tab on demand in the 12radio.com website. All right. Thanks to our producer, Serena. I'd also encourage you to stay empowered by listening to Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next on 12radio. And as we end, I've got several quotes for you. You know how I feel about the quotes. Love hearing people talk their charts. These people all have sun in Taurus. The first one is Tony Blair. And he says, human progress has never been shaped by commentators, complainers, or cynics. Be a doer and not a critic. And see, there again, that's very Taurus. I want to get my hands into something. I want to do it. You know, I want to mold something. I want to do it. I don't want to just talk about it. This next one is Leonardo da Vinci. And I love this one. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. And that is very Taurus. Taurus likes things simple. Taurus thrives when things are simple instead of complex. If you can make it simple, go that direction, especially under the influence of Taurus. Why make something complicated if it doesn't need to be? Then this last one is Katharine Hepburn. She said, life can be wildly tragic at times, and I've had my share. But whatever happens to you, you have to keep a slightly comic attitude. In the final analysis, you have got not to forget to laugh. And I think that's it too. You know, just be in your body. Get those good chuckles. Laugh at what's happening. Give yourself that opportunity to feel and to enjoy and to laugh. All right. Well, this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with CA Brooks, which I swear sometimes this show feels like it's 10 minutes long, even though it's not. I know it's 55 minutes, but I feel like I've only been talking to you for 10 or 15 minutes today. But anyway, I am signing out. I'm giving the controls back to our producer, Serena. You are listening to 12radio, where we are changing the way that we feel about the world, that we listen to the world and the way we experience the world.